So we are thinking this morning about the goodness of God. Okay, we looked at some characteristics of God. So we are thinking about the goodness of God this morning and what we mean by good. I thought I'd start by giving you an example of someone who uses good with another word, right? So it's a little clip of a film that some of you might be familiar with, so it will cheer you up a little bit. So here we go. Can we have the clip with the sound on? And the next bit, the dog jumps up and everything. Okay, so children, what things with good did he say? He did. He said good afternoon, good evening, good night. And he said one more. Yes? Which was good morning. What do we mean when we say good something? Like good morning. What do we mean when we say good morning? What do you think we mean? Yes? We might be asking a question, is it a good morning? Let me just pop down here. What else might we be saying? What might we be wishing? Hoping for? Yes? A good morning. We might be hoping for a good morning. And we might be wishing for somebody else a good morning. And there are lots of greetings in lots of languages that have good. Like buongiorno in Italian. And bonjour in French, which is good. Good day. We wish people a good day. We hope that they'll have a good day. What else might you say good to? Good something. You might say good singer. Who watched The Voice last night? Nobody? All right. The one's up the front here, but no one at the back seems. Are you all kind of disengaged? Yes, anyway. The Voice last night, I watched it. I don't normally watch it, but I did watch it, and I thought it was really fun, to be honest, once I got into it. And you would say about the singers there, they're good singers, wouldn't you? Most of them, anyway. They're good singers. Now, what's a good singer? What would you say about a good singer? What makes a singer good? Any ideas? Anybody? They sing in tune. That's definitely a good thing. Hitting the right note. What else about it? A nice sound, I suppose. Because you could be hitting the right note, but you could be really squeaky and squawky. And that wouldn't be very nice. Even if it was hitting the right note. So a good singer has a good voice that sings in tune. Or you might have a good meal. What's a good meal? Tell me one of your favourite meals, anybody. What did you say, Nigel?
Something you enjoy eating.
Yeah, that is something you enjoy eating. What does anyone enjoy eating? Yes, Liz?
Curry.
Curry, yeah.
The world's favourite.
Men's curry night, Thursday night. Any men, by the way? Pardon?
Ice cream's the world's favourite.
Is it? Ice cream? Oh, apparently ice cream is the world's favourite. Matthew?
Yeah, pizza.
Pardon?
Pizza.
Oh.
Yeah,
I only like pizzas in restaurants. I think bought pizzas are never the same, are they? They're all kind of soggy, the bottom. Yes, what do you like?
Chocolate.
Yes. What do you like, Joel? Pardon? Macaroni cheese. Oh, I have to feel very hungry to like macaroni cheese. Sam. Michael, yeah, I know. As soon as I said it, I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't. Yeah, go on.
Tuna pasta.
Tuna pasta. Yeah, I quite like that. Takes a bit of effort sometimes eating it, but yeah. And I suppose a good meal is a meal that fills us up and that makes us feel kind of happy after we've eaten it. It tastes nice, fills us up, makes us feel happy. And we use good with lots of other words, like a good team is a team that wins and plays the game properly. Or being good looking. Hands up anyone who's good looking? Yeah, Barney is. Well, I suppose good looking is a bit more difficult to define, isn't it? You know, if you're a woman, you seem to know what men are good looking, but men can't seem to figure it out. We can't even, you know, work out what's good about ourselves, let alone, you know, look at some bloke and you go, is he good looking or is he ugly? I don't know. But that's how it is. So good looking, I suppose, means You look like you're supposed to. I suppose it's something to do with that, that you look like you're supposed to in some idealized form in your mind. And we might say, a good shot? What's someone who's a good shot? What do they hit? They hit the target. Or you could say a good tree. What do you think a good apple tree produces? Apples. Thank you, Nigel. And loads of them. So a good tree is a tree that produces fruit. Well, when we say good, we mean a couple of things, really. For one thing, we mean that it does what it's supposed to do. Does what it's supposed to do. We could say it's functional if you're an adult. Does what it's supposed to do. That's what we mean when we say it's good. You see, what does a good tin opener do? Stop calling out, Nigel. Otherwise, none of the children have a go. It does open tins. Hands up, everybody. Right. A good tin opener opens tins. Now, a bad tin opener doesn't open tins. So when we say something's good, we mean it works. And if you have a rubbish tin opener, then it's not going to open a tin. And it's not good. So one thing is we say that it's good because it works. Now, what do we say? Hands up if we have a really nice meal or a really nice cup of coffee. Put your hands up, Nigel. Yeah, we say something like, it's very, very nice. And we praise it and we say it's very good. So, when we say good, we mean it works, like a tin opener that really opens a tin. And we mean that we praise it because it's really nice. So, that was a lovely cup of coffee. Or that was a really good piece of music. Or that was a really good football team because they won really well. So we praise it. And that's what we mean when we say good. We mean that it works and that it's worthy of praise. Now, here comes the God bit. We've just been talking about good, but now we're going to talk about God. Psalm 119, verse 68. Do you want to read it out? It says, you are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. What we've been trying to say is that good means that it works, and good means that it's worthy of praise. We want to praise it because it's such a remarkable thing. And when it comes to God, God is both of those things. God works as being God. He's functional, if you could say that. God works at being God, so he's good in that sense. He's everything good that you would expect of God. But also, he's good in the sense that he's worthy. He deserves us to really praise him. Actually, you might say this. The Bible tells us that all goodness, whether it's pizzas or cups of coffee or good football teams or good-looking people, all goodness, whether it's being loving or being kind or being fair, all goodness comes from God. It's not like we know what goodness is and God's all right, he's good. No, it's the other way around. God knows what goodness is. He actually defines goodness, we might say. He is absolutely and completely good. You might say it like this. God is really good at being God. He does being God perfectly. He's really good at being God. And all of the things about God are good. So he is really good about being holy, and his holiness is really good. He's really good at being loving, and his love is really good. So everything about God is good, and God tells us what real goodness is. He is good in every way imaginable. Somebody came to Jesus once, and he called him, this man called Jesus, good teacher. And Jesus was going to teach this man certain things, but he began by saying, no one is good except God. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God. Now, amongst other things, he wanted the man to realize that he, Jesus, was God. But he also explains that no one is good except God. God's just not a good person. God is the only person who is perfectly good and who tells us what goodness is. And we actually only know what's good because God tells us. So that's the first thing, that God is good. And the next thing, let's read out the verse again. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. God is good. That was the first thing. The second thing is that God does good. One of the ways we know that God is good, because of all the good things he does to show us what he's like. God does good in creating a really good world. Genesis 1, when we learn about the creation of the world, God sits back, looks at all that he's made, and it says God saw all that he had made, and it was, what was it like, children? What's it say on the screen? Average? Very good. It was very, very good. And there are so many beautiful things in the world that God made. There are stars, and there are planets, and there are animals, and there are massive animals, and there are tiny animals, and there are whole factories going on inside of us. And do you know what? I learned about something this week. I was driving home from somewhere one evening, and I heard a program that was all about bees. And I want to teach you a little bit about bees. Here's a few great pictures of things that God made. It's the fishes, birds. Right, here we go. So we don't want any sound, but we want to look at it. So if you just look at the screen and I'll say a few words, and I want to get you involved with me on something in a minute. So here's a bee, and it's flying off. That's called a forager bee. So here's the bee. He's come back from foraging around. He's sharing a little bit of nectar with his mates, okay? Now here's the bit you've got to concentrate on. Now he starts dancing. And if you just look at that, you just think, well, don't know what's going on really. They're just all kind of moving around. But you get a little bit of help because you get a little squiggly line comes on the screen in just a minute. And you realise, oh, that he's doing a very special kind of dance. And you'll see that this little bee who's just been doing a bit of foraging always dances in the same way when he's come back from doing this bit of foraging. Right. Now, I'm going to explain what that dance means, but I thought we'd have a little practice first. So any children want to have a little practice bee dance with me? I need three or four of you, otherwise it's going to be really sad on my own. So anyone want to practice doing a bit of a bee dance? Yes. Anybody else, please? Jim, yes. Right, okay. Now, we'll do it up here, because it's a nice square thing. Now, you've got to imagine this is a hive and this is sideways, okay? So this bit here is actually up like this, pointing upwards. But we'll do a bee dance. Anyone else want to join in? Yeah, come on then. Right, okay. So this is the hive and I'm on the hive. And you just follow me and do what I'm doing, okay? Up here. Sure no one else wants to join in? What they actually do, I'm going to go this way, and then I'm going to do a figure of eight that way, and then I'm going to go this way like this, okay? But, oh yeah, join in as well. Okay, I think we've got enough room. If you all come behind me. Right, okay. And then you do a figure of eight. You've got to follow me in a line, otherwise it's embarrassing on my own. Oh. You've got to do a bit of wiggling. And it's all about the angle, right? So we're going to go directly this angle. I can't do it now. I have to be in the right mood. Otherwise, it's like my dancing. You have to really not think about it too much. Now, then they do another one like this. And they go around this way this time. Okay? We'll just do a couple more just to get the idea of it. You've really got to wiggle that, though. Oh, I'm really getting into it now. Okay, one more just to finish the figure of eight. Okay. Oh. Right. Thank you very much for your help. Thank you for being embarrassed. Now, what was absolutely mind-blowing to me about this silly bee dance is that it's what we call in maths, if we think we're a bit clever, a vector. Do you know that? It's a vector. Now, none of you children know what a vector is, but roughly speaking, the angle that this dance goes, and the angle means kind of what direction it's going across the hive, right? So this is one angle. That could be one angle. And this could be another angle, like this. Or if you started in the middle, this could be another angle altogether down that way, right? So the direction that it goes tells all the other bees the angle of the food that they can find with respect to the sun. That is so clever, right? Works even in the clouds. They know where the sun is, even when it's cloudy, right, bees? So if you ever want to know where the sun is, it's a cloudy day, you want to know where the sun is, do you know what you've got to do? Ask a bee. Because they know. So, the angle says to all the other bees, here's the sun here. This angle, which was like 45 degrees, this one, this angle tells you what angle with respect to the sun it is. So if the sun's here, it's maybe 45 degrees here, then the food's over there. And how long they wiggle for, like in seconds, is roughly how many kilometres away it is. That's amazing, isn't it? The angle and the time that they dance for is to do with where the food is. And I was listening to that and I thought, oh yeah, but what about clouds? And they said, oh yeah, well they can see where the sun is even when there's clouds. And I also thought, well yeah, but what about the fact that the sun moves? You know, by the time they get back, you know, the sun will have moved a bit. And do you know what? They even correct for the sun moving. Every 4 minutes, they change the angle by 1 degree. I know most of you children won't get this point, but those of you adults will get really fascinated by this. It's a vector, and it's compensated for the sun moving around. It's so clever. And so in these really fascinating ways, and in perhaps more obvious ways, with just beautiful things that we see in the world, we realise that God is good, and he makes a very good world. And we look at that and we say, God is good because the world works in very clever ways. And we say, God is good and I really admire and think he's really wonderful. And he deserves lots of my praise. So God is good in what he makes. But also, God is good and he does good, not just in making the world, but also in rescuing people, in saving or rescuing people like us. Because we know that although the world mostly works, and it is amazing and complex, and all the animals and all the chemicals are designed to work together, we know that although it works, sometimes things go wrong and it's been spoiled. And it doesn't always look like a perfectly good world. So although we can see God is good, we can also see that things are sometimes bad. But you know what? God is so good, he's so good, that he didn't just leave us when we messed up the world. Most of you know that Adam and Eve decided, we don't think God is very good. We don't think what God says is very good. So we're going to ignore God and do our own thing. And that's why there are bad things that happen in the world, because of the choice that Adam and Eve made and the choice that all of us made. But God didn't just say, well, I'm going to leave you to it then. God is so good that he designed a really good plan to rescue people. So the Bible talks about God as being gracious and compassionate. It means he's really kind and he treats us much better than we deserve. And the way that God was gracious and compassionate to us is especially in Jesus Christ, who came and lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. He was perfectly good. And he died the death that we deserve to die because we're not perfectly good. And he made it possible for us to be friends with God and to live in a good world one day in the future. So God is good, and God does good. He does good things that we can see in creation. He does good things in saving us. God is good even when things seem bad. Psalm 145, verse 20 says, "The Lord is near to all. He hears their cry. He saves them. He watches over those who love him." And there are lots of verses in the Psalms, and there are lots of verses in the New Testament that say, even when things seem really hard and you wonder, is God really good? He still is really good. And actually, the Bible says everything, absolutely everything in the world is working for the good of God's people. Sometimes that's really hard to see, but that's when we have to trust God. So God is good. Everything about God is good. And God does good. He made a really good world. He made a really good way of saving us. And God is doing good, even when we think maybe he's not doing such good things. So what do we need to do? Well, starts with, we need to praise him. We need to praise him for being such a good God. When we thought about all those things we held up here, when we thought about all the things in creation that are good about God, when we think about Jesus and the good salvation, the good rescue that God does for us in Jesus, then we want to recognize that God is good and we want to praise him. So that's what we need to do when we realize God is good. We want to praise him and look up to him and say, wow, you are really good. You work as being God. Everything about you is good. And I look up to you and I praise you. And I'm really thankful that you're really good. Second thing we need to do is to trust him. We need to trust him to save us. Because God is good, he's the only goodness. He's actually the only way that we can be safe and that we can be friends with God. So we need to really trust him for salvation. It's not like there's lots of ways. You know, I was talking about a good tin opener and a bad tin opener. Well, probably you can get lots of tin openers that are pretty good. You can get ones that have got little discs on and handles that you whiz, and you can get electric ones that open tins, and you can get the ones with a sort of jagged blade. I used to have when I was a child and used to take them camping, you know. Lots of tin openers for opening tins. And all of those you could say they're pretty good. It's not like that when it comes to God, and it's not like that when it comes to being safe and rescued by God. There's only one way to open this tin, and that's with the way God says, because God is the only one who is good. There's only one way to get saved. There's only one way to get into the tin of being safe with God, and that's through Jesus. So we need to trust God, because he's a good God, for salvation, and we need to praise him. But also we need to trust him when things are hard. And that's really challenging sometimes. Some of you here have experienced difficult times, and really the biggest temptation any Christian faces is, almost certainly, is God good? That's their biggest temptation. That really leads us to do lots of other things. Is God really good? Mostly, especially if you've been a Christian a long time, you don't start thinking, well, God doesn't exist. What you mostly get tempted to think is, God is not good. God is not good making me this way. God is not good giving me this set of circumstances. God doesn't know what he's doing. He's not good. And sometimes we need to really remind ourselves, God is good, even when things look bad. And the best way to remind ourselves about that is to look at Jesus on the cross. And look at Jesus and say, that looks so bad. Here's a man who's innocent, who's dying. It looks so bad. But even in that, God is being so good. And it will help us to trust in God's goodness if we're always looking at Jesus on the cross. So, we need to praise him. We need to trust him, which is we need to learn goodness from him. You know that the verse that we read a couple of times? The Lord is good and he does good. And then that verse ends saying, teach me your decrees. We want to praise God. We want to trust God. But we also want to learn from him what it is to be good. Because we want to be good, don't we? We want to be like God. We want to do good things. We want to make good choices. We want to live good lives because we know that pleases God. So how are we going to know what goodness is? We've got to learn it from God because he's good. So learn goodness from God. Because I get all messed up in what I think is good. I get all confused in what I think is good. But God is good and he can teach me how to be good. So praise God because he's really good. Trust him because he's really good. And learn from him what it is to be good.